hour back on a Wednesday. It's the WIP afternoon show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, I'm never going to let the Wednesday thing go, even though I wasn't a Wednesday guy. How are you feeling?
And listen, those of us in the LTBB, we appreciate it. We'll never let the Wednesday thing go either. Brother Spike, I'm doing pretty good. We are at hump day, which puts us a day closer to Sunday.
Very exciting.
Jackie Baseball also puts us a day closer to spring training. Not that that really matters to anybody else around here. Holla at you, boy.
Still the single best quarterback season in the history of the franchise, 2017 Carson. I mean, that's why you honor him every single Wednesday.
Why don't you tell me about the 1,000-yard receivers? What about that year?
That was 2019.
They ran
him out of town because Clowney hit him in the back of the head. It's just sickening.
Some say 19 was more impressive than 2017.
No one says that. One says that. Not one person. And yes, a day closer to JT inevitably re-signing.
Yes, can't wait for it.
And just ruining everything.
Yeah, can't wait for it. So
you turned heel on JT.
Either you want to be here or you don't.
Don't worry. He hasn't.
He'll find a way to make it a positive.
When he's back, you can't lose that guy who calls a game like
that. Yeah, right. There it is. Big show, as always, 3:30, Flyers and 50 with Broads, 4 o'clock. Baldy will be back with us. Man, it's been a few weeks since we've talked to Baldy. Brian Baldinger will be with us. The new Insider of the Year, Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings at 4:30. It is a big show, as it always is. Now, Ike said, we are one day closer to Sunday. Philadelphia Eagles versus the San Francisco 49ers, which you can hear here on WIP. And Ike, Sunday, Kevin Petullo should be coaching for his job. And we'll get to this. The details do matter about, you know, how the game goes specifically. But the offense overall has been horrible this year. I think relative to the talent they have, expectations, the offense has been horrible. It's been the most disappointing part of the team. Now, to be clear, Kevin Petullo has not been the only problem for sure. The offensive line is beat up. You could talk about QB play or Saquon being beat up, all those things, but the facts are the facts. And the facts are, is the worst points per game of the Sirianni era, the worst yards per game of the Sirianni era, even less than 2021, 311 yards per game. The pre-snap penalties, bad. The communication, bad. They have been, I think, the offense, not just not performing, but disjointed the whole year, and that goes back to him. And I have no doubt that at some point in his career, Kevin Petullo could be a really good offensive coordinator. I have no doubt. Mm-hmm. But the Eagles do not have time to develop people here. This is a team that has to win, that has the pressure of winning a Super Bowl every single year. You have a head coach who isn't a play caller. We need experienced, professional people in that position. And I think if they lose on Sunday and the offense is the reason that they lost the game, I think the Eagles have to do what the Lions did and make a change at offensive coordinator. So Sunday is like Kevin Petullo's job.
Yeah, I know he's probably going to be the one that people come after first, right?
Most likely.
If the unthinkable happens, which losing Sunday would be the unthinkable, yes, the fans are going to want their pound of flesh. They just are. Now, here's where I look at it. I was in favor of keeping or bringing or hiring Kevin Petullo as the OC because he's been in the program, he's been in this offense, he understands what Nick Sirianni wants. He's been around Jalen, even though this was his first year, I believe, as coaching him directly. No, I think he was. Was he the passing game?
He was passing game coordinator.
Yeah, so he's been working with Jalen for several years now, and it seems like the working relationship there is a good one, meaning there's a good relationship between Jalen and Kevin Petullo there. I don't have a problem with continuing to watch that grow because continuity is the one thing that has been lacking in Jalen Hurts' development as a quarterback. Is keeping someone there that he's familiar with so that he, not in the first year of mastering whatever offense is being required of him to run, but in the second year, right? I think about having Shane Steichen in the first year and then he struggled, and then with Shane Steichen, the second year, he was the runner-up MVP. He was an MVP candidate in 2022. I'd like to see what that looks like in the second year. I really would. I think they've done some good things at times this year, and then there's a step back, right? It could be the running game, or it could be the passing game, the play design. I think he's had a role in that. And by extension, Nick Sirianni has had a role in the offense being that way. But it's not them, and I don't know which outweighs the other, because sometimes the players and the execution has been the issue with the offense. So if I'm sitting back and I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I'm saying to myself, did I dislike what I saw so much this year? I want to make changes. And will this help Jalen's development? Because here's what you're looking at, right? Jalen's 26 years old. He's the franchise quarterback, and he's going to be here. There's only so much you can do to improve where Saquon is at. He's a running back. He's getting older.
He is who he is.
He is who he is. AJ and Devontae, they are who they are as wide receivers, two of the best in the game. The offensive line, they need to play better, but that's not a schematic thing, right? We all believe that's more of a physical thing. With Jalen, the scheme and what he's being asked to do always matters. And if you give him another year with Kevin Petullo, maybe he's more familiar and better equipped to be more efficient, like we saw in 2022. So that's where I kind of lay my head at. I want to keep the continuity there because, quite frankly, it's almost unfair to just blame Kevin Petullo on the off, because that's what it would be doing.
Yes.
If you fire him, you're blaming him for everything that's happened with the offense this year.
So I agree in a lot of ways, but here is the problem with continuity. Mm-hmm. Is let's say they lose 17-13 on Sunday, something like that, right? We're all blaming everybody, but Petullo is getting the brunt of it.
Yeah.
And they decide, we want continuity, we're going to keep Kevin Petullo. You tell me what happens after game two next year when the offense looks like it did this year. And then they are stuck. And then it's 2 years in a row.
Sure.
Where you that is where I'm, like, I'm trying to prevent that. And I know that continuity helps. I also know the Eagles won the Super Bowl with a first-time offensive coordinator for the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Kellen Moore had been an offensive coordinator before.
Yep.
And I just, like, I don't know if, regardless of whether he will be good at it or not, I don't know if it's a tenable situation. Like, for the Philadelphia Eagles as a whole, if two games into next season, now, it could be two games into next season, they're scoring 33 points a game, whatever, mm-hmm. but the planning for the worst-case scenario there is a tough one. It's a tough one.
Well, here's the thing I will say. Bringing in a new coordinator doesn't mean the offense is going to be fluid. There's still going to be rough patches. There's still going to be times where the offense stalls. Because, again, you're asking Jalen, who would be, what, nine or ten coordinators in, even when you go from college to the pros in his career, where he's had so many coordinators, you're still adding that element to the equation. So while you may get a better play caller, a more seasoned play caller, we even saw Kellen Moore have issues as far as getting the passing game going.
Sure.
Now, people want to say, well, that's the quarterback. Okay, I'll accept that being part of the reason. But I don't see how he becomes that much better with a new guy when he has to get used to the new system again.
215-592-9494. Should Kevin Petullo be coaching for his job on Sunday? We do have a next question today. This week is the anniversary of the Blizzard of 96. Which I lived through here. Ike, you were not here in 96, were you? You were not here. Jack was 2 years old. Yeah, Jack was 2 years
old. Snow was still here when I got here, though.
Dude, it was it was wild. I remember it well. I remember, you know, walking up the driveway just to get to the top of the driveway, and it was...
I've seen pictures. I was like, this is like Buffalo.
Well, dude, there was nowhere to put the snow.
Right.
I remember there was a huge conversation about, like, well, where's the mayor going to put the snow? They were talking about turning the snow into steam. Was it John? No.
Was it Rendell?
It might have been Rendell. No, I don't think
it feels
it was
early
Rendell.
For Rendell.
No.
I don't feel that early.
No. I think
96,
it probably would have been.
I got here in 98, and Ed was already the mayor.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
So it might have been him. Yeah. So they were talking about what to do with the snow and where to put it. Anyway.
Well, when did he do the wusses thing?
Oh, that was in 07.
He wasn't, like, he had already been governor.
That was 2010. That was 2010.
Yeah, that was after that.
Yeah.
What is it? City of Wussies or Generation
Nation,
of Wussies?
Nation of Wussies.
Yeah, that's right.
I was out there freezing. I was out there. I wasn't one of the wussies.
It was Rendell.
Yeah,
imagine on a pregame show, would one person show up? to the pregame show on a Tuesday. You know who that person was? It was Jason from the Dirty 30.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was me.
Surprising.
It was me, Glenn, and I want to say it was Ray Diddy.
Oh, is that when you guys were across the street?
Yeah, we were doing. No, we were in the plaza.
Oh, really?
We
you were
the
there?
Plaza,
and it was only one
on
person.
A Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh,
on
right.
a Tuesday night.
Joe Webb, right?
Joe Webb. That's
the Joe Webb
game.
Game. Yes.
That is the Joe Webb game.
Game.
So for next question today, just give us a notable 90s event. A note, something big that happened in the 90s. Jack, what do you got?
So it's a good answer, but it's also a sad answer, and that's Kurt Cobain.
Oh, that is a big one.
Because yeah. when I was in middle school, teachers were telling me that, because they were there during that, that the guidance counselor's office, the girls were around the corner. Because they had to talk about Kurt Cobain.
So that was 94. I was...
Teenagers?
Yeah, dude, I was distraught. I mean, it was... He was, like, the icon at the time.
Oh, I feel you.
And it wasn't a surprise, because he had OD'd, like, a few weeks before in Italy. It wasn't shocking. It was just sad. So, yeah, I wasn't seeing the guidance counselor, but I was upset talking about it.
Well, listen, just as big, I don't want to take an answer away because it's not the answer that I was going to use, but there's a couple other deaths that happened
course.
During that time.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
Was huge. So, you know what? Is it you or me?
No, you.
So, I'm going to go with, this would have to rank in the top 5 to 10 things that happened in the 90s from a major standpoint.
Okay.
I'm going with MJ retiring the first time.
Oh, and playing baseball.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
When the league made him retire.
No one saw that coming in 93.
Dude, think.
Yes.
I mean,
gambling.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about if that happened today.
Yeah.
Like, think about if him playing, not just retiring, but playing
minor league baseball.
Who's the best player in the NBA right now? Jokic, Giannis, whatever.
Would not have the same impact.
But just imagine if all of a sudden the next year Jokic was playing for the Reading Fightins. It's just weird.
Dude, don't sell tickets.
Yeah.
But when Tebow did it.
Tebow, I thought it was amazing too. But he was not the best player in football when he did it.
Well, he never lost in the postseason.
He didn't.
He lost
1-0. 1-0. Well, no, it's 1-1.
1-1.
He had to lose eventually. Yeah.
So mine is, now the name of this is not 90s, but it was 90s, and that is Y2K. The lead up to that New Year's Eve.
You guys were so stupid. You know that? You all falling for that? What a bunch of morons.
No one knew. Yeah. No one knew. I've told this story before, but the most amazing thing was our engineers at the time, Dick Bagg, was the WISP engineer. That's his name.
That's actually his name.
He had to go through and confirm that everything in our studio was Y2K compliant. So, but he had a Y2K sticker on the microphone. And I remember saying to Dick, I was like, the microphone doesn't know what day it is. Like, why does that have to be? And he said, look, I was told that I have to go through and make sure it's all Y2K compliant. I said, but there's no date device in the mic. He didn't care. So I'm going Y2K. Yeah.
That was a big deal,
dude,
man.
Dude, it was crazy.
Y2K.
It was crazy. 215-592-9494. Should Kevin Petula be coaching for his job on Sunday? And for next question, they give us a notable 90s event as it is the anniversary of the Blizzard of 96. Corey in Columbus starts us off. Corey, you're on WIP.
Hey, man. So I know y'all going to say this is a sissy answer. I don't care. He should be coaching for his job, but I wouldn't care if we kept him either. I'm going to tell you why he should be coaching for his job, right? So on Sunday when we play the 49ers, this defense, we going up against Brian Rowe, Emmanuel Acho, you know what I'm saying, Casey Matthews, that linebacker.
Come on, man.
If we can't run the football – with our offensive line, Lane Johnson could be back. Week off, Saquon, Tank. If we cannot move the ball versus this team, he got to go. Jalen, AJ, now they do got, what's his name? Alamador, Manor, whatever his name is out there corner. He an okay player.
Wow, you know playoff week Corey's a problem, man.
Alamador, Manor?
Yeah, give me that name again.
Whatever his name is out there at corner, you know what I'm saying? If we cannot move the ball on this Niners defense, he got to go. Mm. I don't care. Now, I'm one of the main ones that preach about continuity. Jalen, I use that. I ain't going to say an excuse. It ain't an excuse. But I use that a lot when I talk about, you know, when it comes to Jalen Hurts and his ability to play.
Yeah.
You know, continuity. You know, but it's like this defense is terrible. I let the Bills slide because it's raining. You know what I'm saying? This defense, if we cannot move the ball – You know what I'm saying? We got, you know, no disrespect to Uncle Hugh. Uncle Hugh out there playing edge for them. You know what I'm saying? We have to be able, I'm talking about this version, not
I know.
All pro. You know yeah, what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, like, we better be able to move the ball on this team. If I see us, now we, you know me, I take the win however, 13-3, I take it. But I'm going to be complaining. We should blow the Niners out. We are the better team.
We don't blow anybody out but the Raiders.
We got the better. But what I'm saying is, like, when you look at this matchup on paper, if you didn't know nothing about the team, you didn't know no season, you just said Niners, you look at the roster, you look at everything, you didn't load no numbers. You're like, the Eagles should stop these dudes. That's what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? We got the advantage at a lot of positions. I don't care what y'all feel about quarterback. If y'all want to call that a wash, I think we got a major advantage. But every other position, even running back, that's a wash. Or if you want – right. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like, we got the advantage at every position.
Yeah.
We should dominate these dudes. And Nick Sirianni, listen, I'm not saying you on no hot seat. I'm going to throw you in there, too. You won a Super Bowl, you took us to two. Doug won a Super Bowl, too. But you better not be doing no bonehead calls. You know what I'm saying? Kick the field goal if it's there. Don't be going for two when we don't need. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? Who's the special teams coach?
Michael Clay.
Michael Clay, hey, man, Harbaugh, listen, you might, I don't know if you want a head coach job. We might want to bring you back. You know what I'm saying?
Like, if John Harbaugh's coming back to be the special teams coach.
Listen, y'all better be ready to go for this team. I know the Godfather going to have his side ready. Everybody else, y'all better show up.
Especially since you took the week off. Last week.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to see that everybody looks fresh out there next
week.
Well,
and in terms of preparation, the other teams they could have played, they already played this year. Mm-hmm. You know, so they should have been doing prep on the Niners last week.
True.
The Rams they already played this year. The Packers they already played this year.
Yep.
You know, the Bears they already played this year. So the only teams that they could have played this week, they've already played.
Yep.
So the 49ers, they should be prepared. I agree with you, Corey. Like, this 49ers defense is not good at anything. They're not good at stopping the run. They're not good at stopping the pass. They're not good at pass rush. They don't have anything.
Yeah. D'Amador Lenore is his name.
Menor, you mean.
It was close. You were close, though. Yeah, I like the name you gave him.
Yeah.
But real quick, also, I forget who the reporter was. I don't know if it was Berman. I don't know. Y'all said the team was okay with rest. So y'all was okay with the rest. Y'all didn't want the two seed. I'm cool with that. I don't want to hear no back. I don't want to hear Landon Dickerson walking off with no limp. I don't want to see none of that. Y'all should be ready to go. No back, no limp, no none of that.
All right.
Next question.
My notable 90s event. Spike, you took mine. I was going to say that.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with Magic Johnson retiring with HIV.
Yes, sir.
That was crazy.
Still know where I was at.
Yeah.
When that happened, yes, sir. I was coming home from basketball practice.
Yeah, I remember being on the school bus the next day and talking about it. I mean, it was a crazy time.
Well,
I mean,
and at that time, it was a death sentence.
It was.
So when you heard that, first thought is Magic Johnson's getting ready to die.
Yes. Yeah. And here he is. Now he's
healthier than all of us.
30 years later. And he's
a billionaire and healthier than
all
of us.
Yeah. But yeah, at the time, that was a massive story.
Yeah. The 90s had a lot, man. There was a lot that went on in the 90s, man.
You know, and this is what you young people do not understand. You, Jack.
Thank you.
And
I
know you appreciate the 90s.
Thank you.
In retrospect.
I want that on the record.
Yes. But here's what the 90s had that we don't have today, is that we let things simmer in the 90s. So like OJ, that took up like 3 years. Today,
damn sure
OJ would be in a week and a half.
Yeah.
We would be on to whatever the next thing is.
I was going to say 2 months tops.
Yeah, I don't want to say all the things. I was about to say all these things, but all these controversies that we remember, it's not because they were outrageous. They were, but it's because we had enough time to really let them sink in and really dig into them. We don't really have time like that anymore. Something happens, and
new cycles change, man.
Yeah, we're on to the next thing or whatever.
Yeah, so. No, we got short attention spans nowadays.
Yeah,
90s better than the 80s?
Oh, yeah, dude.
I was so young in the 80s.
Now, listen. Yeah. From my perspective, not even close.
You did well in the 90s.
No, I'm talking about the 80s.
Oh, really?
You kidding me? That was the crack era, man.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yes. Not a great.
The 80s, not good.
Not in the neighborhood.
Yeah. And 80s was not good.
Yeah, 80s were. I was born in 76. I remember the 80s, but I don't really remember being sentient in the 80s until
right.
There it is again.
To me, it is 87. And I usually put everything around it. It's either, when I think back in time, it's either a music thing or a sports thing. For me, it's a music thing. There's a Guns N' Roses album that came out in 1987. That's just when I remember start actually like being, I wasn't a teenager, I was 11, but that was when I started to have my own thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
I was 11 years old.
Yeah, see, I feel like a lot of people say the 80s was the best generation. Like, older than you.
Yeah.
Older than you.
Well, they were coming off the 70s.
Yeah. But everyone also romanticizes their youth, besides, I think, my generation. Like, people that like, I think 2004 was still technically the 90s, but this poor, like, 2010 to now. Like,
they got nothing. They got nothing. They're just sitting there at home staring at their phone.
Sucks.
Well, the 80s was good for all the boomers doing coke in the 80s all over the place. It was just like they're all rich and they're all doing coke. You know, missed out on that. Wasn't part of that whole thing. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, something in Philly sports doesn't feel quite the same as it used to. We will talk about that. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.